Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Thank you so much, Pastor Matt, and what a joy for Liana and myself to be with you. And be here at Awake Church, where everybody is awake. And it's a joy to get to know your pastor. I just want to say we've had the privilege just the last week to spend 2 days together with some other leaders. And I see Pastor Michael is here and Pastor Dan is here all the way from Wilkesboro. You know, when pastors are prepared to go to church on their off Sunday, it shows their hunger for God. And so, could we welcome them and just say it's great to have you here? Yeah. So together with some other leaders, we had some time together, and I just want to say just such a growing appreciation for the leader of this house, recognizing a man that is humble, healthy, and holy. And I think you can just honor God for your leadership. Could you just give them a hand and just say, thank you, bless you. So this has been quite a year, and it's a good time for us as Christ followers to find ourselves in Christ, to recognize what it means in the midst of all the confusion and the things that happen around us, what it means to be secure in Christ. Probably the most important concepts in the New Testament are the in Christ concepts. In Him, with Him, together with Him, seated with Him. Those in Christ concepts give definition to our lives. It frames who we truly are. You see, church is not about behavior modification. We're not just trying to fix people. We want to introduce people to a whole new identity and a whole new reference of life. It's in Christ. In Christ alone. We started singing that this morning. So powerful. You know, in South Africa, where we hail from, we have lions. And some time ago, we went on a retreat. We do that pretty often in the city where we are with some of the leaders of the city. And then we just go and share life and pray for the city and share what God is putting on our hearts for the season that is ahead. And so we went to one of the areas in our country where one of these big game reserves are, these national parks where the animals roam freely. And early in the morning, we all got onto this big safari vehicle and headed into the park to hopefully find some animals. It was not long we came across a whole pride of lions. And so about 20 yards away, we stopped and switched off the engine, and it was this quiet morning, and the lions were just laying there very lazy. But then one of the dominant male lions decided he's going to get up and come and inspect this vehicle, this thing that has just come into its immediate environment. And I don't know who designs those vehicles, but this particular one did not have doors. And so I'm sitting right at the end, and the lion is on its way to us. The ranger says to us, don't worry about this because The lion thinks this is one big thing that has arrived. He doesn't realize there's a lot of individuals on this vehicle. And you just got to sit still, keep quiet, don't make a noise, don't stand up, because then you break the line and, well, then it's over. So don't do that. And so I'm sitting there just praying, Lord, I trust this ranger knows what he's talking about, because this lion is heading our way. And the guy behind me, bless his heart, he has this beautiful camera and he's just so excited taking pictures. But the problem is this camera is making a click, click, click sound. And now the lion is intrigued about this clicking sound and he's coming straight for me. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, if I don't die today, I'm going to kill somebody today. But this lion comes to about 2-3 yards from the vehicle and it looks up. And I have the privilege of looking directly into the eyes of this lion. Now, I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of looking into the eyes of a lion with about three yards of distance between you and nothing in between. You suddenly feel very vulnerable. You suddenly recognize authority. I'm looking at this lion and thinking to myself, why did this animal just, you know, so lackadaisically come towards this vehicle and not be intimidated by this big thing? Because it's a lion. That lion is not intimidated. But you know what? If you take that same lion to a circus, the moment that lion comes into the arena, there's something that happened to that animal. Now suddenly it's anxious. It's running around. It's as if there's a sense of uncertainty with this animal. Because you see, there's somebody there with a whip. And while the whip is cracking, the lion starts to do all kinds of tricks. And to the applause of the people, because just look how we've been able to adjust the behavior of the lion. The lion is now doing tricks, but we know that lion does not internalize that behavior, because I guarantee you when that lion goes back to its cage, it doesn't sit in the cage and practice the tricks. It only does that because there is a whip. And here is one of the biggest and most important things that we can discover in our Christ engagement, in our walk as Christians. We are not trying to take the Bible as a whip to try and get people to adjust their behavior. We're getting people to go and discover their environment so that in Christ you can live and move and have your being. And when you discover that environment, you become what you are destined to be. This is so important for us to discover in the time that we are in. We need to discover deeply what it means to be in Christ. What it means to be in this environment, this context that now defines our very existence. It's interesting that when we think about the Jesus here on earth, we recognize how Jesus lived in a different way. His life was so different, right? When Jesus spoke, the people said, he speaks differently. He speaks as someone that has authority. It was as if they said, we want to listen to what he says. His words bring life. His words arrest our lives. When Jesus prayed, he prayed differently. When he prayed, the disciples go to Jesus and say, Lord, would you teach us to pray? And Jesus says, yes, come here. Let me teach you how to pray. Because you see, they were hearing him pray, not a religious prayer. It was as if he was really speaking to the Father. And when Jesus teaches them to pray, he says, this is how you must pray, our Father. He's saying to them, you can enjoy the same experience of relationship with the Father. You have to understand how radical it was for that time. Remember, this is why they wanted to kill Jesus. They said, you are making yourself equal to God. How can you call God your Father? And Jesus says, this is what I'm welcoming you into. This is what I'm introducing you to. Call God your Father. When Jesus was confronted with circumstances, it did not intimidate him. He was not flustered and anxious. He's in the boat with these seasoned fishermen, and they find themselves anxious. What does Jesus do? He rises up and faces it with authority and engages it in a different way. And then the disciples look at each other and what do they say? What kind of man is this? What manner of man is this? He's different. He is different. Folks, this is what we need to understand. When you become a Christ follower and you come into Christ, something happens in your life that wants to set you apart, that makes you different. When John wants us to understand who this Jesus is, and he starts to write the Gospel of John, documenting who this Jesus is, he starts with his divinity. And within four verses, he now introduces us to how Jesus exhibits his life in the natural. And then John says in John 1 verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light to the world. You see, there was something in Jesus that set him apart, that made him to live in a different way. John says, this was life. In Jesus was life. And then as John keeps documenting the story of Jesus, he gets to John 10 and he quotes Jesus sharing his own life mission statement, where Jesus makes this great announcement over the people's lives that were looking at him, seeing that in him is life. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is saying, the very thing you see in me, the very thing you desire in me, the very thing you appreciate and in me and attracts you to me, I have come to reproduce that in you. Here's what you need to understand. Christianity means you have become a partaker of life. In you is life. In you is life. We're not just trying to fix Adam. You come to the discovery that you are in Christ and something has happened in your life. If someone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. What does that mean? In you is life. Now, what does this mean in practical terms? And I want to share with you just three dimensions of this life that could be helpful as you navigate the embrace and the acceptance of the of understanding what this life would mean in your own life. Looking at the life of Jesus. When we look at Jesus' life, we see three primary things. The number first thing we see in Jesus' life is this whole concept of identity. Jesus knew who he really was. Jesus had settled the fact that he knew he was the Son of God. But you see, there was a moment in his life where there was this affirmation over his life as to who he truly was. This is when Jesus is baptized. The Bible says he comes up out of the water and the heavens open and the Father makes a declaration over his life. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It must have been an amazing moment for Jesus. You know, there's nothing more powerful than a father's positive affirmation over a child's life. And here Jesus hears his heavenly Father say, "You are mine, you belong to me, you are my son, and I'm pleased with you. My smile is upon you. I love you. You are acceptable to me." And here Jesus recognizes the Father has just made a positive affirmation over his life. Now, the amazing thing is the Father says, "I'm pleased with you." This is before Jesus did any miracle. He hasn't gone to the cross. He's not started with his ministry yet. You see, the Father was pleased with Jesus, not because of what he had done, but because of who he was. You are mine. You see, so many times we live with this sense of having to perform so that we can get the acceptance of the Father. You have to understand this is the principle. God says, "I have chosen you. You are mine. You belong to me. And because you're mine, I'm pleased with you. My smile is upon you." That same affirmation we need to hear over our own lives. Because that is our inheritance. That is what God intended for our lives. John wants us to understand this. So as he's writing the Gospel of John, he gets to John 1 verse 12. And then he makes this statement. He says, "For all who have received him," those that have received Jesus, those that are now in Christ, "they have the right to be called children of God." That is just marvelous. For those that have received him. Once again, I want to say to you, you see, Christianity is how well you receive. It's not about achieve. It's about receive. You see, the big challenge for us is not to go into performance mode in our Christian life, to think that we have to do all kinds of stuff so that ultimately God will accept us. No, you are accepted in the Beloved, the Bible says. And if you receive him, you are one that now has the right. The right. Now, we're in a time where people speak so much about rights and people are discovering what really are their rights in terms of our society. But can I tell you something? The greatest right that any human being can ever discover is the right to be called a child of God. That's a right. It's your right to be called child of God. And here's the fascinating thing. In the Greek, that word child is exactly the same word that was used when the Father spoke over Jesus. You are my beloved son. The word there is huios, which means inheritor. You are my inheritor. And here comes John and he says exactly the same. For those who receive Jesus, they have the right to become the inheritors of God. You have to hear this statement over your life. Because unless you hear with clarity that you are accepted in the beloved, you're always going to live like an orphan, trying to perform, to achieve what you already have. Because you're in Christ. It's a repositioning. But you have to hear what God says about your life in Christ. You know, in the city where we live, Pretoria, in the zoo, they had an eagle that was in a cage for 12 years. And then they decided they're going to set this eagle free. And they had this big project of carting this eagle all the way to the area where the natural habitat of these eagles would be. And when they arrived there, some of our friends were there, and they told us the story. They said it was so amazing. They were so excited, this big cage, and they had the countdown, and they opened up the cage, expecting the eagle to now fly out free. That eagle was going nowhere. That eagle just sat. I said, they couldn't believe it. You see, here's the thing. For 12 years, that cage had become the defining reference for that bird. It's what it believed its reality is. And they knew they had to get this bird out of the cage, so they went into the cage. Started shooing the bird out. They said it was very funny. The bird kind of bounced down onto the floor and then bounced out of the cage. A few yards out of the cage, there it sat. You see, the problem was the bird was now out of the cage. But the cage was still in the mind of the eagle. That's what happens to us so many times. We're free. We've been brought into a newness of life. But our problem is we're still stuck with a mentality, with a way of thinking. And sometimes it's a religious way of thinking that's keeping us from really discovering who we truly are. And it keeps us contained. We're not living out this new life because it's how we framed our reality. It's our belief system. It's this worldview that now defines and governs the way we engage our reality. And there we sit. We're free, but there we sit. But they say something amazing happened because they tried to get this bird to fly because they knew if it doesn't fly, it's going to die. So they say people were, you know, shouting at the bird, whistling at the bird. One guy even went and explained to the bird why it's important to fly. They say another guy went and ran in front of the bird to show the bird, you know, this is how you can fly. But to no avail, the bird was going nowhere. They say, and then something amazing happened. One of the free birds of the region started circling above them. And the next moment, they say that bird gave a cry. And the moment that bird gave a cry, there was an immediate response, a resonance, something of an identification. They say this bird looked up and it was as if in that moment, in the hearing of that sound, there was the acknowledgement that I was made for more. I was not made for a cage. I was made to fly. And in that moment, this bird started to run, flapping its wings, and it flew up into freedom. When I heard that, I said, that's what happens to us. That's what happens to us when we hear this is what God has spoken over our lives. That's why it's so important to sit under the word of the revelation of Christ in your life, because it awakens something in your life. It quickens the sense of I'm hearing the announcement of the Father over my life. When I think about how God speaks to us in Hebrews 1 verse 1 to 2, it says, God, who at various times in various ways spoke to the fathers by the prophets, he has in these last days spoken to us through the Son. He's released something over our lives. God opened a new conversation with man. God released his Son as the final word, the final definition of your life. And the more you discover who Jesus is, the more you will discover who you are. He came to reveal to you the blueprint of your design. And he's welcomed you into this family. You now have the right to become child of God. But you know, it's not just identity. It's also intimacy. You know, when Jesus goes, after he heard that announcement over his life, he goes into the desert. And the Bible says the enemy comes to tempt Jesus. And what does the enemy do? He premises the temptations with this statement: if you are the Son. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get Jesus to doubt who he truly is. You see, if the enemy can get you to not believe that you truly are the inheritor, truly are son and daughter of God. You know, when the Bible speaks about sons, it's including the daughters, right? All the ladies that are here, if I can be the bride of Christ, you can be a son, okay? You're included, okay? The Bible's not always so politically correct. There's a revelation there that you need to discover, that you need to see. And he comes and he challenges Jesus in terms of his identity. You know what? His strategy has not changed. He tries to get you to doubt that you truly are. But he leaves out one very important word in the temptation. I believe it's an intentional omission. He leaves out the word beloved. He, I believe, knew the power of that concept. If you know that you are loved, there's something about recognizing the privilege that we have now that we are in Christ. We are no longer far from our Father. We have been reunited with the Father. You see, this is what happened in the cross, in redemption, is that we have been brought back into fellowship with the Father so that we can now live in proximity, that we can now live knowing that we are in Him. He is in us. There is no more distance. God, the creator of the universe, is with you. You know, as John documents the Gospel of John, 116 times he references the concept of Father. Where Jesus would say, I and the Father are one. The Father loves the Son. He says, I do nothing unless the Father. Can you hear just that sense of intimacy, of knowledge that God is with him, the Father is with him? No longer does Jesus show this reference of a father or a God that is far removed away from us. Listen, folks, God is not watching us from a distance. Sorry, Betty. He has come to make his home in you. You have become his address. You are the abode of God. I remember years ago, there was this Spanish-American preacher, Carlos Ortiz, who came to speak in South Africa. I was a young teenager listening to him speak, and he made this statement in his Spanish accent. He said, when God comes into your life, he does not just come to visit. He comes with all the luggage. It made such an impression on me. I recognized he's moved in. He's come to dwell. He's abiding. God is with me every moment of my life. Wherever I go, whatever I do, I've become a union with God. There is no more separation. Folks, listen, when you start to discover who you are in Christ and that God has made his dwelling in you, it changes the way you do life. And so that Jesus prays. John 17, as John is still documenting this story, he wants us to understand something. I so love the mission statement of this church. Know God, take action. You see, because when you start to know God, when you start to know who you are in him, when you start to know that he's with you, it changes the way you engage, because now you become a sent one. Because in you is life, and the life is the light to the world. When Jesus prays, this is the high priestly prayer. The Bible says, you know, at some stage he says in the prayer, he says, Father, I'm not just praying for these disciples. I'm praying for all those that are far off that will believe in this word. In essence, Jesus was including you and me in that prayer. And listen to what he was praying. Father, I do not pray that you take them out of this world. They are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. Protect them from the evil one. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so send I them into the world. You know, I grew up in church, and I always thought the idea of Christianity is we need to get people out of the world. And here Jesus is praying, Father, don't take them out of the world. You see, something happens to you so that you can be released into to go make a difference. I struggled with that portion of scripture for so long because, Jesus, why did you pray that? Why did you pray, do not take them out of this world? I struggled to understand this until one day I got a revelation when I was trying to set my dog free from fleas. So I share with liberty the parable of the fleas. My dog had fleas, and I decided that I was going to start at the tail end, and I was going to comb through the hair of the dog and catch every flea that I can. I don't know if you've tried that, but it's a pretty challenging exercise. And so while I was trying to do this, a friend of mine arrived, asked me what I was doing. I explained to him my project, and he said, Alan, but why don't you just go buy a flea collar at the store? I thought, well, there's an idea I never thought about. So I went to the store, got the flea collar, put it around the neck of the dog, and within 3 days, all the fleas are gone. I'm amazed. I'm intrigued now. I'm trying to figure out, how did the fleas at the tail end know there is a flea collar around the neck of the dog? How did they know it was a flea collar? I never explained it to them. I had the instructions with me. But somehow the fleas knew it's time to get off. So I went back to my friend. I said, please explain to me, how does this work? He says, Alan, it's pretty simple. He says, on the flea collar, there's a powder. And as the hair brushes against the collar, the powder is released and it sits on the skin of the dog. It's then assimilated through the skin into the bloodstream of the dog. And it builds up an immunity in the bloodstream. And now as the blood circulates through the dog, when the flea at the tail end bites the dog, the flea dies and the dog lives. And I said, hallelujah, I now understand John 17. This is what Jesus was praying, right? Father, I do not pray that you take them out of the flea nest of this world. Put them right in between the fleas. New translation, okay? But do something to them. Sanctify them by your truth. Let truth so affect their lives. Let it build such an immune system within them that when they enter into the world, they will not be affected by the world, but they will affect their world. Wow. Wow. What is this truth? This truth is your discovery of who you are in Christ and that the Father is with you. And it builds this immunity within you. You see, that's why it's so important to gather together as God's people consistently. Why? Because this truth leaks. We lose sight of it so many times, but we need to be reminded as to who we truly are, what God has done in our lives, and that we know God is with us, so that when we leave here, we enter into a world, a damaged, confused, corrupted world, but we enter into that world and we are not intimidated or infatuated with the world, but we enter into that world as people that are light. That's what we call to be. Identity and intimacy leads to impact. And if you can start understanding how those dimensions work, how important it is for you to know, truly know who you are. Why? Because identity precedes activity. The way you see yourself determines how you live. And then it's intimacy, proximity, awareness. It's like the old lady that heard this message and her rent was up and so she didn't have money to pay. So she went into her apartment, shut the door and said, Lord, our rent is up. Proximity. See, he's staying there too now. It's a new way of living. It's a new way of engaging. Once you understand that, it brings integrity. It brings impact. It changes the way you do life. Can I pray for you? Just speak and awaken this life in your life. Just receive it in this moment. Lord, oh, our Father, we come before you in the knowledge that your smile is upon our lives. Your acceptance is on our lives. You have made a statement in Christ over our lives. You've repositioned us. I pray, Lord, that this community of faith would truly become known as people who are aware of their identity and proximity to the Father and making an impact and a difference everywhere where they go. And so today, we release each person to go and be life and light. In the name of our Lord, we say thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. God bless you. I thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.